My name is Addy, and I'm a second-year medical student at WSU. When I came to medical school, I had some ideas about how I would study and what I wanted my study space to look like. I knew that I wanted a standing desk, and I built one, and that has worked out really well. I had some other ideas that in the end turned out not to be how I would study. And one thing I didn't foresee is that I would really enjoy walking on a treadmill while studying. I figured this out because there's a treadmill desk station thing in the library here, and I tried it one day, and I actually really enjoyed it. I don't have nearly as much time to trail run as I did the summer before medical school, and it turns out that I really enjoy still having physical movement, even if I'm not moving as fast, and I'm concentrating on watching a lecture or reading from a PDF while I'm moving. But what I've learned and what's worked out for me is not necessarily relevant for everyone who's listening. So what I wanted to do was share with you the experience of a number of students from the school to see how their study habits and study spaces have changed over time. Six students have generously volunteered to share their thoughts with you. So without any further ado, let's get started.
So my name is Erin Johnson, and I'm a first-year medical student. My husband and I live in a two-bedroom kind of triplex, and so our second bedroom is an office slash study room and soon-to-be baby room. I'm having a baby in July. So we have a desk set up in there, and I have my iPad and also my computer, and then we have two monitors that we can cast to or connect to. So that's kind of where I study. It's really nice and bright in the room. It has a soft, cozy carpet, comfy desk chair. It also has a little rocking chair in the corner, which I can sit in if I want to do flashcards or something like that, not at a desk. So that's where I mostly study if I'm really cracking down. Depending on the day, it could be anywhere from a couple hours to upwards of like 6 to 8 hours on weekends, and obviously ramps up more around tests. To be honest, though, I do a lot of Anki on the couch, so that's another place that I study too. I've definitely set up my laptop on a chair, like while I'm in the bathtub to watch lectures too, which is not a bad place to study as well. I like to watch some sort of video and take notes, so I use a lot of like Boards and Beyond, for example. So I'll watch those that's relevant to a lecture, take notes on that, and then I will watch the pertinent sketchy to that at 2x speed. And then all the while, I do flashcards every day, so always doing flashcards. And then I definitely get a lot of help from writing or drawing things out, so I do that pretty consistently, depending on the class. I mean, that works really well for anatomy. It doesn't always work as well for other types of studying. And then typically before an exam, I will meet with a group and talk through things. And we tend to do that like around a whiteboard where we can write things out. So that's kind of how I focus my studying. It's easy to get stuck and feel like you can only study in one area. So I think switching it up can always be really helpful. I know that in the past, if I was like really trying to be like, oh, I need to study at a desk all the time, I would lose motivation pretty easily. So I think the advice would be like, feel okay with studying in different locations or different avenues. If I feel like I'm not motivated or not able to study, like I'll still go to a coffee shop or try to switch up my location to help motivate myself. I think also over time, I've recognized that utilizing material outside of lectures can be helpful and sometimes even better than lectures. So that works for some people. It doesn't work for other people, but it seems to work really well for me. And I think the last thing, which is always true, is that quality over quantity is always really important. So quality studying, where you're actually learning and remembering and synthesizing information, is going to be so much better than studying for hours and hours and hours.
I'm Katie Schmidt. I'm a second year medical student at WSU. It's really hard to quantify how much studying I do. I'd say when I, you know, we have class in the afternoons now, and it's actually not as hard because I've been using Forest. It's like you plant a tree on your phone, and then it will, if you leave the app, your tree will die. And so it's just an incentive. I don't really, a lot of people have issues with using their phone to procrastinate. That hasn't been my issue, but it does make me just feel accountable to like use my time effectively. So like I would say I average maybe 5-ish hours a day, assuming it's a day of class. But that can vary. Usually I do a few hours in the morning and then try to do a few hours at night after class. But it depends on our schedule. Sometimes I kind of mix it in throughout the day too. So I study, I kind of try to mix it up. Mostly I study in my home. I have an office that's next to my bedroom. And for me, many people in our program know I have a disability, a chronic tendonitis of my wrists. And so if I use a workstation that's not ergonomic, pretty quickly I can get awful pain in my wrists that then like lasts for days. I got the injury as a work injury, and so it was kind of built into the process when I was working that they immediately set me up with an ergonomics consultant and kind of set up my workstation appropriately. So this was the first time I kind of had to do it on my own. I did it with the help of the school, but I really had to like identify what I needed and advocate for that. And for me, it was also like I had to accept that I had a disability. I think it wasn't until that point that I realized that this was going to affect me throughout my life. Like I thought it was just specific to my old career. But when I started med school, all the writing I was doing and all the typing pretty much immediately bothered me. And so I think number one for me, it was being able to recognize that you need help and being okay with that and understanding that that doesn't make you like broken or lesser than. And then once I recognized that, kind of accepting the help that was offered to me, I worked closely with Danny in Student Affairs. And he suggested that I talk to, there's a student affairs for the school that's on the first floor that's more general for all of WSU Spokane. And so they manage the process. And I mean, basically what you need is to meet with a doctor who can document or, you know, any healthcare provider that documents your disability and then just says what your needs are. And then I worked with student affairs to like specifically state how to make those happen. So for me, the school helped me get, I have Dragon on my computer and I do a lot of dictation with Dragon. And then they can't buy me equipment for my home, but they can give you student loans for that sort of thing. And I didn't end up using the loans, but I knew that they were there if I needed them. And so most of the time I do study at home because I just have a good setup with I have a keyboard tray that is ergonomic and a desk that and a chair that are kind of set up for my needs. Lately, I have been doing a little more studying at school because I just find that I get super bored at home. But when I'm at school, I do have to be very cognizant of all of those things too and try to set up my space so that it's also as ergonomic as possible. Going back to my home, in my office, it's just a desk and a chair. I also have a couch. Where sometimes if I'm really just feeling lazy, I sit on the couch and study on my iPad. And then my cat is always around, assuming we kind of split custody between me and my husband who lives in Seattle. But when he's in Spokane with me, my cat will be often hanging out on the couch and provide probably not good distraction, but at least like some stress relief for me. Before medical school, I had some time off between when I was an undergrad and when I was in medical school, but so I'm trying to remember actually where I studied before medical school. I think it was kind of similar. Like I was a home studier for I would say most of undergrad. I think I would go to the library more. I went to the University of Michigan, so they had a bunch of different libraries. And so if I really felt like being productive, then I would go to the library. And I also, I worked a job it was like an IT job where I would drive around campus and like fix computer problems and printer problems. So it's kind of on call. So I'd often actually like study at my desk for my job because I had a lot of downtime. So I kind of mixed it up. But I would say if I picked one place, it would probably be home that I studied. I don't know. I've always been kind of more of an individual studier, not as much of a group studier. Like if I want to memorize something, I have to read a textbook chapter about it. And then I can go back and watch like a Boards and Beyond video or something and kind of pull out, okay, this is what I need to memorize. But so when we have assigned readings for a lecture, I if the readings are good, then I read them. If they're not good, then I usually find a reading that is good. So I would say I learn a lot I'm a verbal learner. I learn a lot by reading. And I also learn a lot by having to teach others. So for me, CBL has been really valuable for that because I try to come to class prepared with this is how I need to explain this for other people. And I'm not the greatest drawer, but I find that if I do draw, I just learn it really well. So those are kind of some strategies in med school that have really helped me. I still use all those other, like the video, the Boards and Beyond and Osmosis and all of those things. But I kind of usually do that for review because it just won't stick. It's just like words on a page almost if I don't get the deeper context. So, but I think, you know, the way that I study, like sometimes I feel almost pressure or I feel like I'm not doing well enough because say I'm not using... Like, I use some flashcards, but not really. And I see other, like, classmates kind of listing off a lot of facts that they've memorized through flashcards. And I don't think that's a bad way to learn, but that just doesn't seem to work for me. Like, when I see a flashcard and I don't fully understand it, then I, like, have to go back and read about it. And so I can't get through that many. If I do flashcards, I may do find it a good way to review things, but... for me, like going through 300 in a day just is never going to happen. And I've learned to be okay with that. And I study in a different way. So I'd say number one, that's important is finding what works for you. And then number two, something that I wish I could have told myself was just to like chill a little bit. I think when I started med school, it was just like, you know, there was just drinking from the fire hose. There was so much information and it was so hard to kind of learn it all to the level that I wanted to and also like just have time for self-care. And I think when I initially did kind of when I injured myself, re-injured myself, it was partially because I was just working so hard and not giving myself breaks and not even giving myself space to recognize that my injury was recurring. And so it's unfortunate, but last year I broke my wrist and which kind of re-aggravated my tendonitis in my other hand because I was using it so much more. And so that was awful, but it was also, you know, I wasn't able to type really very much or write very much. I had to do my school assignments. I actually had to meet with a scribe that like I would dictate it in Dragon, but there were all these mistakes. And even just the process of using my left hand to make all those corrections was just so painful to me. And so I would have to schedule times with scribes to even like finish those assignments. But one thing it made me realize was like my studying was so much less efficient during that time, just because, yeah, it just takes longer to do everything when you're only using your non-dominant hand. And I still did fine. Like I still was academically doing pretty well. So for me, that kind of just sent me the message that like I didn't need to like, you know, study for 10 hours a day when I was healthy because I could still have self-care and balance, and I enjoyed life more that way, you know? And so even if, and sometimes my scores did dip a little bit, but even if, you know, if I spent that time, like, hanging out with my husband or, like, you know, going for a run or mountain biking or whatever I was doing, like, I wasn't going to regret that I missed those few percentage points on an exam at the end of the day. So I think whatever it is that people enjoy, like just making sure that we're all taking care of ourselves and really, you know, making efficient use of our study time, but then also making efficient use of time that we have allotted for other things. So yeah, I definitely in my second year have prioritized like having fun a lot more. So, I've still done generally okay. So, I'll remember all the fun I had in med school more than like that specific question I got wrong on the mastery exam.
I'm Chris. I'm a second year medical student at WSU. So I normally study in the morning. I usually try to get up at 6 or 7. And then I literally walk out of my bedroom and then my desk is right there. So I go down and get a cup of coffee. And then I kind of sit there until 11-ish. But yeah, I kind of sit at my desk at home as long as I can last in the morning. And then I can kind of tell when I'm starting to fade. And then I'll usually go do an activity or mix up where I'm studying at that time. If I'm starting to wane on my focus, I a lot of times will move to a coffee shop. And I kind of mix that up depending on what I'm feeling for the day. And then sometimes I'll study at school, but I normally only study in the basement dungeon lounge. But that's kind of only if I have to be on campus for meetings and have an hour or so in between stuff. So my upstairs space where I study is kind of funky. It obviously is a renovated attic, so it has sloped walls. So I have a small whiteboard that kind of fits adjacent to the window, and it's actually like one of the only areas that I can fit the whiteboard. I would love more whiteboard space, but I kind of, you know, with one or 2 weeks left in the curriculum, it's not time to invest in that. But I like the whiteboard space. So a lot of times right before a test, if there's stuff that I'm having trouble learning, I'll just write it out. Or like in that picture, I think all the interleukins are on there. And just stuff that, like, I know I just have to look at daily to remember that type of stuff that I'll write there. Or if I want to make up a mnemonic and I just need to write it out and kind of process it a little bit. So stuff that's maybe less intuitive for me to just, like, sit down and memorize. Like, if it's a brachial plexus or all the interleukins or something that I benefit from being able to visually see. I try to have that up. But, yeah, I wish I had invested in more whiteboard space initially. So I just realized being in medical school, I just like never effectively studied before this. In undergraduate, I was a peace studies major, and I just realized how many hours I would sit in a library with friends and actually do no work. So I think for me, I've just come to realize that my best study space is alone. And if I'm around people, if I'm like have headphones in and kind of zeroed in and have a task to do, I can do that. But just as far as learning, I definitely need solitude. So yeah, an undergraduate kind of large group setting at libraries, I'm like, well, that wasn't effective at all. So me sitting alone in the house with my dog there is probably my best study space now. But like I said, I go to coffee shops and stuff like that sometimes, but that's usually just to change it up because there's only so long you can, you know, effectively just sit and look at a screen. I study. It's like a very personal thing how you study. I think people love to talk about like what they do and what they like. And I always kind of was like, oh, well, they seem like they do well. I should try that. But just because it works for somebody doesn't mean it will work for you. And just what works for you doesn't mean it'll work for other people. So if you're a group learner, great, get a group, do that. If you're a lone wolf studier, like I typically am, it's like be comfortable with that and don't feel obligated to kind of conform to what other people's study standards, because it's just like it's a very personal thing and everybody processes things differently. And just because you do it one way doesn't make it wrong or right. It's just whatever works. Like Anki. I honestly was a little resistant to Anki for a long time because everybody hyped it. And I was like, I don't know if that's for me. And then I integrated it in eventually, but it's just like I had to do that in my own way. And even within like the Anki study idea, like I had to do it my way. I can't just like brute force, add a ton of cards. You know, it's like everybody just has their own style for all of it. So I wish I had kind of gotten that to that conclusion of just being okay with doing it my way earlier. But
my name is Julia Swanson, and I'm a first-year medical student here at Elson S. Floyd College of Medicine. So in terms of my study habits, I think it fluctuates like most people. There is definitely a period right before a test where there is like vague sense of panic. But I try and keep it pretty regular where I'm spending my first chunk of the day in classes and then my afternoons at school. And for me, I find that the space I'm studying makes a huge difference in the type of studying I do. And I hadn't actually thought about this until I was reflecting on my own study habits. I had a bit of a complex. I was like, are my study habits important enough that I should share them with people? Or are these just super normal? And then I started reflecting on them and I realized that when I'm doing something that feels more passive, I get restless. So watching a video, doing flashcards or Anki, I need to be moving. So in those moments, I would much rather be like on a working walking station in the library and have my feet be doing something, have my hands be doing something. I will often do dance moves in the library on the working walking station when I'm doing Anki, and that is my happy place to do that. Otherwise, a lot of the time I spend on campus in lounge spaces, and I found that anything near windows and anything where I can be writing stuff down or having that be interactive, because if I'm just sitting there hour after hour, it becomes kind of mind-numbing. And most of the time, I try and condense my studying so that there are clear, blocked-out spaces where I'm not studying. For me, that normally takes the place of hockey on Friday nights or rock climbing. I've got a couple of buddies where that's like kind of our way of de-stressing. So most of my time, I would say, is spent studying, but I have clear chunks of time which are designated, this is not study time, and I hold myself accountable to those. So in terms of where I study, I found that it really changes based on what I'm doing. So I have a little spot in my room where there's a Pwong chair. And if you're not a big IKEA person, Pwong are their like classic chairs. It's like the best back support. And for me, that's kind of a place to recollect at the end of the day or the beginning of the day if I want to do something that is like a quick assignment or something kind of relaxing. And I was taking a picture so that I could reflect on the places I study, and I realized like in the corner is like a dead rosemary plant, and I feel like that's kind of the balance. Like that is what medical school is, where you're trying to juggle a lot of things, and sometimes there is a dead plant in the corner because you forgot to water it for the last 3 weeks. So I study at home just a little bit, but most of the time I like to keep my home space pretty separate from my study space. So I kind of see our campus as my work, and that's where I go kind of 9 to 5 and get my work done. For me, I always like to find places next to windows, places that have lots of light and that have other people around, because for me, that's energizing. Especially having windows, I'm really grateful for this campus that pretty much anywhere you study, there is just really great light exposure, and that gives me kind of a sense of calm, and I think it helps keep me feeling balanced when I'm studying rather than kind of that sense of overwhelming panic as like a test is coming, and that reminder that it's beautiful outside and I can go take a 5-minute break and I can go be outside, and that's incredibly relaxing. And to have people who I know who are around who will take that break with me, who will go and drink tea, and like it doesn't have to be 100% working all the time when I'm at school.
I'm glad for your sake you weren't subjected to the underground lounge of all last year. So
I do love the underground lounge crew. They are some of my very favorite second year students. And there's something fun about kind of like forged in the fire of the underground lounge, where you can tell that all of those people kind of have their own crew because it's maybe not the best place to study, but they've made it their own. Don't they call themselves like the Dungeon Crew or something?
Yeah, I think Dungeon is in there.
Yeah. I buy food at Costco. So I spend most of my time on campus, and I ended up buying mass quantities of food at Costco so I could make nutritious meals and just eat them over and over and over again. So I eat a hummus wrap with goat cheese and olives and lettuce like multiple times a day sometimes. But I keep it on campus so that I can kind of, I don't forget to eat, but I've now been a little bit added into the Dungeon Crew and I feel like an honorary member. So it's a special place, near and dear to my heart. I also was thinking about study spaces being not just like sedentary places that you sit, but I was thinking about how on my bicycle commute to and from school, how that is oftentimes both a reflective space, but also a study space. So when we have to remember like all of the review of systems, I will just bike home and repeat it over and over and over. And I'll get home and I'll be like, oh, what did I forget? And then I'll look through the list and I'll be like, okay, I remember, you know, you didn't ask about, you know, change in weight or nausea. And then I will bike in the morning and then I'll go back over and I'll try and list out review of systems again. And there's something, I think we all do it where we have study spaces that are in motion. A lot of people who are driving to and from Seattle use their cars as a study space. And I think it's interesting that we all have those that aren't just the desk that you sit at.
Yeah, my vehicle is definitely a study space. Like, I only think about my treadmill, but you're totally right. It is.
Your treadmill is really cool. I have mad aspiration. I think that you posting about your treadmill actually made me be like, oh, a working walking station might be something that I would want to do because I get so restless. And I now am like a true convert to the having some sort of like physical motion while studying. And a treadmill is just like a great outlet for that. I think one of the big changes that happened when I went into medical school, I started medical school with the perspective that I needed to have new strategies and I needed to add in strategies that were not just about studying, but about structured time outside of studying. And that also really reflecting on what type and what styles of studying for me were going to be most motivational, and creating a support system for myself was really key in that. So I've never done study groups. I had to really change that mentality, and I went into medical school with the intention of forming a group, forming a study group, and forming something that really was peer-to-peer teaching and had an opportunity for that so that I had a built-in support network, so that I had people who I could not only, you know, talk to about anatomy and draw out cranial nerves with, but also have people who I was studying with and would have time to, you know, talk about what's going on and stressors. And so for me, that was a big change, having a study group when I started medical school. And I was really intentional about how I wanted to do it. I reached out to the learning specialist who is here at WSU, and they were incredibly helpful and supportive. And I found other people who were kind of like, maybe this study group thing will work. I'm not quite sure. And we all tried it together. And those people, I mean, yes, I study with them. And yes, that is helpful. But mostly it was a huge support network. And I don't really know how else to convey that idea of whatever works for you for studying. You know, give yourself some flexibility that it might change when you start medical school. It might change when you start a new week because you have a new teacher, and giving yourself some space for that. With medical school, really going into it with a perspective that you're going to be flexible. You're going to try out 10 different strategies and find out that two of them really work for you at the moment, and maybe two different ones work next term. And just letting yourself have that space to really be flexible, and also the creativity and the excitement to try different things. I think that's the great thing about having upperclassmen walking in and hearing people's perspectives on what they did and what worked was really great, because then I could kind of reflect on all of them and try a bunch of them and really do the spaghetti to the wall and see what sticks. I also think find a study schedule and style that either builds in white space or has time for exercise or has a student group that also does that exercise with you, whatever works for you to have built in non-study time, built in time where you can really relax and rejuvenate, whatever that looks like for you, is so important. I don't think I could have made it through the chunk of time after Reagan died if I didn't have a clear, this is what works for me, because that was so hard. And knowing that, you know, med school is going to get harder, clinicals are going to be hard, but if you don't start now making time for those things and reflecting on what does work for you, there's not going to be time later. There's not going to be a huge magical break in which this becomes easy. There's just going to be a new challenge, and so you have to have a plan for yourself.
Hi, my name is Lindsay Livingstone. I'm a first-year medical student at FSCOM. So my study habits typically on the weekday, and, you know, this can vary based off of the material being covered, but I would say typically about 3 hours of study time per day during the week, and then just depending on if master exam's coming up, more like 5 hours per day on the weekend. It definitely gets a little exacerbated the weekend before the mastery, and it can be, you know, good like 12 hours of studying every day, which is not the most pleasant, but I tend to be more of an anxious studier of like, did I remember all those little points, and do I know all these little facts and minutiae that ultimately don't serve me well on the test? But it's, I feel like if I don't go into it knowing that, like, on the top of page 47, the question was this and the answer was this, I tend to have a little bit more anxiety and don't perform as well. So I live in a house with my wife, and we both started school at the same time. She's getting her degree in social work, and so we figured there's going to be lots of hours spent at a table doing some homework, so we wanted to kind of focus our house kind of around that, as, like, having the study place be a warm place that we can kind of interact with each other, be able to study at the same table, and kind of have that be our quality time. So before we moved to Spokane, we made our big purchase. We went to IKEA and we found this super long table. It's probably about 6 feet long and probably a good 3 feet wide. And we can just really kind of spread all of our stuff out and have a nice little ergonomic chair that I'll just wheel up to it. And it's a nice, because, like, I don't get distracted by noise at all. So even if my wife doesn't study, because it's like the living room is right next to it, but she can be watching TV, I can be studying, and then I can just, you know, it makes it to where there's, like, at least a little bit of quality time where you can just look over and be like, hi, remember me? Okay, well, here I go back to micro, you know. So it's the central command station where I have my laptop open so I can watch videos, you know, on Boards and Beyond or on Sketchy Medical, and then have my iPad open to reference class notes. And then I'm a little old school. I like to take all my notes on actual notebooks instead of on my iPad when it allows for it. It seems like I have better retention if I'm actually physically writing in a notebook as opposed to even using my Apple Pencil in OneNote or Notability. So it's a nice setup to kind of maximize the amount of time we'd be spending together, versus in my old apartment, it was like studio apartment that we were both trying to live in. So it would just be like, well, one of us just has to leave because, like, there's nowhere to study. So it's a nicer setup. One of the things I found was really important was just with the number of hours having to study, it feels overwhelming if you're not seeing the outdoors, you know, and just, like, realizing that there's this whole life outside your window. And so, like, kind of finding myself, especially getting a little bit more depressed with the studying, especially when it gets dark super early. So we have a lucky situation where there's 5 different windows that we can open, and it's like a nice view out into a big backyard. And so I found that having that natural lighting kind of energizes you for that last little push towards the end of the day when you're just like, I don't want to be doing this anymore. And then you can at least have a little vitamin D activation going on, which is helpful. So, and then candles have been helpful too, just getting a nice smell in there after a while, just because it just feels like you can just get so kind of stale just sitting in the same seat for 6 hours. So just like little nuggets of happiness in my external to kind of make the daunting part of how much study time you have makes it a little bit more palatable. I have an elliptical as well, and what I've kind of started doing is breaking up the study segments to where I'll do, you know, 45 minutes of studying at the table, and then I'll take my iPad over to the elliptical and I'll watch, like, a video on Sketchy or something like that. That's previous content to kind of get the juices flowing of all the stuff that we've learned before. And I find that I'm able to come back to the table just so much more re-energized by just even, like, a 10-minute break of just being a little bit more active and still able to incorporate studying into that time, so where it doesn't feel like I'm kind of jumping around all over the place and kind of doing segmented studying. So in undergrad, and I think it varied based off of what class I was taking, but I was more into going to the library and getting one of those little study rooms and sitting in my little cubicle and, you know, making the 9,000 flashcards for organic chemistry and just kind of having more of like a hermit existence in terms of being able to maximize my studying. Whereas I found that group studying is definitely more beneficial for me now in medical school. So I think it was more isolating, not in a negative way, but just that was my preferred study when I was in undergrad. And I tend to be a fidgeter too. Typically I'll have one pen that I'm clicking constantly while my feet are tapping and I'm humming. So it also, when I was doing that kind of studying, I don't think a lot of people would have wanted to be around me when I was doing that studying. Whereas now I can be a little bit more mindful of my pen clicking behavior when I'm, you know, sitting around a group of 4 people that like to maintain the friends I've made so far. One thing I found is, there's been 2 times that I've cried in medical school so far. One is when I was trying to do Anki flashcards. Like, that's not the way that my brain works. Like, It was for a biochem test. And it was like I knew all this information at a baseline, being able to flip through my books and look, but then kind of putting information to kind of this segmented package. Just my brain doesn't work like that. I'm more of like big picture, extrapolate down to smaller context. And I think I'm also more of an audio learner. So being able to go to class, have someone kind of talk at me about what we're learning, and then being able to go and find an outside resource like Boards and Beyond or Sketchy Medical, just kind of whatever kind of fits in best with the content and have those memory anchors that way. It seems like that's when I learn the best, as opposed to, you know, sitting down with pre-reading and trying to outline it. I think the other time I cried in medical school was very first week of anatomy, going through and trying to just like highlight things out of the textbook and make flashcards. And it was just like that was not a compatible way to study for me. So it's been interesting watching that evolution of how I study and just being able to get more bang for your buck through things that I don't think I would have thought of or I don't think would have been helpful in undergrad. Because in undergrad, it was more focusing on these little pieces of minutia, as opposed to it feels like medical school is understand broad concepts and then be able to use your problem solving skills to work through a problem and get to a diagnosis or get to an answer. So I think being able to, if I could have gone back in time and talked to myself that first semester of anatomy when I was trying to just focus in on all these little discrete packages of information and not focusing on like, okay, what's this entire system actually looking at? What's the overall processes? And what are the big ticket items in terms of understanding how the system functions? That would have been so much of a better way to do it than how I initially did it. Finding something that works for you is so important. Like, it seems like there's kind of trends that kind of come out in class where it's like, this is a really good resource. This is the only way you're going to learn this information is by doing X, Y, and Z. But everyone has a different learning style. And so, like mentioning with the Anki flashcards, like some people it seems works great for them and that it's a wonderful tool for them. But for me, like if you want to get me to cry, make me do Anki flashcards. Like, so kind of not getting sucked into this fear that maybe you're missing out on something because a particular resource doesn't work for you. I found Sketchy Medical extremely helpful for microbiology, but then with pharmacology, I kind of check out a little bit, but knowing like that's okay to check out a little bit, it just means that that's not going to be the way that I'm going to access that information and maximize that. So just like being forgiving with yourself and being able to say certain things are going to work for me, they might not work for everyone. And like I take all my notes by hand, and I know that that would just absolutely drive some people crazy. And for me, if I don't have a piece of paper that I'm able to be like, it's in the red notebook on the top right hand corner of the page, like I'm not going to retain it as well. So I think that would be my advice, to be able to go back to myself and just be like, do your thing, like take some hints from people where it's acceptable, but don't make it that if everyone else is doing this, that you have to do that too.
Okay, hi, my name is Josh Pahong. I am a MS2 at the Elson S. Floyd College of Medicine. So I usually, with all the classes in the afternoon, my day, I usually wake up pretty late now. My wife is in law school, though, so she wakes up pretty early. Her classes are in the morning, so I end up usually have to get up and take the dog. This is really bad of me, but it takes me a while in the morning to like get started on my setting. That's something I still got to work on. I probably sit there for an hour just browsing social media or playing video games for a little bit to kind of – that's my kind of coffee. So I would say I usually probably start studying maybe around 10 or 11. The big thing for me that changed this year is that I started like tracking my studying. I use this app called Toggle, which it's like a free app for a single person. If you wanted to like do a whole group, you'd have to pay for it. But for a single person, I think it was designed mainly for contract work to like kind of track your hours. So I kind of use it to, because I was really curious about like what different modalities I was using for education. So I kind of, you know, if I was using Sketchy, I would start a timer and you can tag it as Sketchy. And then so, but it has a summation. So it looks like over time, I probably average only about 4 or 5 hours of studying per day. And that includes sometimes that includes the classes I do go to. It's really not too much. I really should do more. My wife's in finals now, so that's been kind of forcing me to study some more. So yesterday I put in 8 hours and 10 minutes and 58 seconds. I like that. I'm a data geek, so I love having that granular data. I don't know how I'm going to use it yet, but it's interesting to look at. I do probably 90% of my studying at home. I'm very lucky to be living at a 5-minute bike ride from campus. So if I ever do need to come to school, it's never a hassle. So I usually just wake up and study at home. This year, when my wife got into law school, we bought matching standing desks from Costco, the ones that rise up, but it ended up not rising up high enough where I felt I had good posture anyway. So I have like a stack of useless JAMA journals that I use as a riser for my laptop. I'm a big fan of the standing desk. I've always had kind of terrible posture, and the one from Costco is great, but again, as I mentioned, it's not tall enough for me. With both of us studying, we've kind of devolved into having no structure for like a we have a big living room and we just kind of do different places. Sometimes we sit at the kitchen table and then we go to the couch and then we go to our actual desk and just go lay in bed. So it just kind of however we're feeling that day, we'll claim our own territory for our studying. Her being a law student and me being a medical student with no books, she has a million books. So she kind of has the first pick of she needs the space. And then any other time, if I'm in class working for IT sometimes, in the first years, I'll sit in the back of lecture and study there. But I would say most of the time just sprawled out somewhere at home. And my studying is usually pretty simple. I used to have this huge, like 4K, whatever, HD monitor. I don't know if it was 4K, but it was fancy. I ended up returning it though because I realized kind of what I was talking about where I've devolved into just like laying down and studying. I didn't need to sit there at a station and have these big screens. Everything I needed to do, whether it was Anki flashcards or practice questions, I could do it from my own laptop. So I think thankfully Costco has a good return policy. So I got $300 back for the monitor and I just use my laptop now. To be completely honest, in undergrad, I barely studied. It's probably an issue. But I think I've always been kind of a home studier. I don't know, for me, it's just comfortable to be, in my own bed, around my own food, not tempted to like order coffee or whatever at wherever I'm at. But I would say, that the times like when my wife wants to go to a different place to study, I do value that a lot. And I'm starting to kind of hop on that train. I'm like, oh, it's good to change it up a little bit every once in a while. And then before medical school, my study spaces, I'd never lived in an apartment as nice as the one I have now. Seattle and Hawaii, the rent's way worse than Spokane. So I think before, like, you know, it would be kind of cramped, it'd be kind of small for me to study, but now I love having the amount of space I have and it's very thankful for it. I would say, especially if you don't count forced group study with CBL, all my studying is on my own. Not that I don't value group study, but I find myself, it's my own fault. I find myself getting distracted. I like talking to people too much. So this is kind of my own way. I do a mix. I do a lot of Anki flashcards, which I find fun. I think I wish I had this during undergrad. I think the gamification really, I'm sure every medical student has heard of it now and has decided if they like it or not. But it's my favorite thing. But kind of as we get closer to boards, I've been doing a lot of practice questions. On different various QBanks, and that's honestly my favorite thing now is doing QBanks because that's kind of the ultimate game, right? If you want to run fast, you can do all the accessory squats you can, but in the end, to run faster, you just got to run. I think the biggest thing for me, if I could talk back to myself, starting off medical school in my first year, is kind of just do it. I think I spent way too much time like trying to plan different things, making different schedules, or having an organized. And I know it's valuable to have a schedule and have a plan, but I think I spent way too much time planning for it and then not actually doing it. And then I do remember wasting too much time like going over subjects I didn't fully understand and doing a bunch of flashcards, and that all went to waste. Especially I would say during my first winter break. So I hope nobody does that like I did and do a couple thousand flashcards and never see them again. But yeah, I think just getting. Putting the work in, putting the time in. I think that's probably the number one thing is actually going through the videos and not worrying about, okay, how does my checkbox list look? Is it really pretty? Is this going to look great when I finish it? And then I never even start it. I think that's probably the biggest thing.